If you have your Bibles, to turn to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for everybody that's here. Give me the ability to preach this message, Lord. I can't do without you, Lord. I'm an empty vessel. Fill me with your Holy Spirit that I may preach this now. In Jesus' name, amen. John chapter 6, verse 1. We've been preaching through the Gospel of John, and we're in chapter 6 now. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great multitude followed him, because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. And Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company coming to him. He saith unto Philip, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, There is a lad here, which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? And Jesus said, Make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in the number of about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down. And likewise the fishes, as much as they would. And they were filled. And he said unto his disciples, Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, This is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. First thing I want to bring to your attention is God can take small things and make them into bigger things. The title of this message is The Little Things. The first thing I want to point out is, of all people, Andrew is the one who goes and gets this lad. Verse 8 says, One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, There is a lad here, which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? Andrew, you read very little about Andrew. You hear about what Peter did. You hear about what Paul did. But very few things you hear about what Andrew did. Andrew came and said, Here's a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes. What else did Andrew do? Well, let's go back to chapter 1 for a moment. Andrew, in John chapter 1, verse 40, one of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother, Simon, which is Peter, and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. He was the one that introduced Peter to the Lord. And Peter preached on Pentecost and led 3,000 people to the Lord. But Andrew led Peter to the Lord. Andrew led this young lad to the Lord to give him the fishes. But very seldom do you ever hear about Andrew. Andrew was a blessing in his own way. So he took a little disciple and used him for some bigger things. He also took a little lad. You got to give the little lad credit. He gave up his lunch. Y'all go over to Sonny's and ask somebody munching on their food. Hey, give me some of that. And see what they say. You might come out missing a hand or something. But the boy gave up his lunch and God used it. And this was an act of faith of the lad. Sacrifice and faith, right? Not only that, the lunch was small. Let's go back to John chapter 6 and let's talk about this. Verse 9. There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. They're not even big fishes. They're little. They're small fishes. But what are they among so many? How are we going to feed all these people with 5 barley loaves and 2 little bitty minnows? What are we going to do with this? But faith the size of a mustard seed can move mountains. Amen. So God still used it to bless thousands. So God has a tendency to take the little things and give big blessings. Let's go to 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings chapter 17. Verse 1. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, saith unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. And he went and did according unto the word of God, but he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan, and the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. The whole world was about to be in famine. The whole world was about to get no rain. Whenever you get no rain, you get no crops. When you get no crops, you get no food. But God was going to take care of him by the help of some little ravens. God could take the little things and take care of you. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he abode and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gates of the city, behold, a widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he calleth unto her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she saith, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering 2 sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat and die. There had been no rain in the land, so there was no food, and they were living off of what they had, and all they had was enough for one meal. They were going to eat their last meal and starve to death, so they thought. And he said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, Fear not. Don't you love it whenever the word of God says, Fear not. And Elijah said unto her, Fear not. Go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first. Make me a little cake first. And bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. So she done said that there is not even enough to feed me and my son, and he is saying, make something for me first, and then go back and feed you and your son. For thus saith the Lord, of God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. He told her, you ain't running out of food. Would you have believed him? That was a big act of faith, you see, for her to feed that prophet first before feeding herself. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah. What a thing. Whenever she was giving her last meal to a prophet, she took him at his word, and then she returns back to that barrel, expecting it to be empty. She gets the little scoop or whatever she uses to get it out, and she feels resistance. And she hears the crunch of meal one more time. And then she probably thought, well, this is the last bit of it. And then she probably comes back the next day, and she hears a crunch whenever she scoops in that bucket. And then the next day, she feels a crunch. The Lord took care of them while heaven was shut up and there was no rain. The Lord took care of them. Day by day, little by little, the Lord used a little meal and a little oil to get them through. The Lord has a tendency to use the little things to take care of you and me. That takes a lot of faith. Next point I want to make, turn to 1 Kings chapter 18, just a page or so down the word. 1 Kings chapter 18. For context, Elijah just prayed and God sent fire down from heaven on his offering. We're in verse 40. And Elijah said unto them, Take the prophets of Baal, and let not one of them escape. But they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook of Kishon, and slew them there. And Elijah said unto Ahab, Get thee up, eat and drink, for there is the sound of abundance of rain. There had been no rain for years now, and he is saying, Get up, eat and drink, there's a storm coming. So Ahab went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down. Understand, the rain hasn't come yet, but he said, Get ready, you're about to eat and you're about to drink again. So Ahab went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees and said to his servant, Go up now and look towards the sea. And he went up and looked and saith, There's nothing. And he said, Go up again 7 times. Could you imagine sending somebody, he's praying for rain, and he says, Go look for the rain. And the fella comes back. He says, There's no rain. He continues praying, Go back and look for rain. He comes back, no rain. 7 times. A lot of people would probably be discouraged by the second or third time, but Elijah kept praying. And he said to his servant, Go up now, look towards the sea. And he went up and looked, and said, there is nothing. And he said, go again seven times. And it came to pass the seventh time that he said, behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea, like a man's hand. And he said, go up and say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. He's expecting a big storm to come, and he is saying, get out of the way, Ahab. There's a frog strangler coming. And all he sees is a little cloud the size of a man's hand. And he says, you better get out of the way. There's a storm coming. Elijah knew what God was going to do, and he didn't have to see much. He saw a little cloud. He didn't wait for the big storm to come in to warn Ahab. He saw the little things. He saw the little cloud coming, and then he said, buckle up, there's a storm coming. That's faith right there. And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind. So while the servant went down to warn Ahab, that was whenever the big storm was coming. It says that it was black with clouds and wind, and there was great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel, and the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. What a thing. What a thing. Elijah didn't have to see the big black clouds and the strong wind. He just saw the little cloud coming, and he said, there's a storm coming. The little things. Turn to 2 Kings chapter 5. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Assyria. Naaman was a very, very important person, to say the least. Was a great man with his master, and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. And he was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians was gone out by the companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid. And she waited on Naaman's wife. So this little maid was a little servant, a slave that they took out of the land of Israel. She didn't have to like them. They took her away from her mom and dad. They took her away from her home. But watch what God does with this little maid. And she said unto her mistress, would God, my Lord, were with the prophet, that is in Syria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. This little maid had compassion on this big captain who had leprosy. And she said, I know a prophet that the Lord will use to heal this man. She didn't have to like this guy. He ruined her life, but she had compassion on him and wanted to see him healed. And she said that there's a prophet in Samaria. Verse 4, and one went in and told his Lord, saying, thus and thus saith the maid that is in the land of Israel, of the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, now when the letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, and that he rent his clothes and said, Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me and to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me. This king had no faith. He thought that since how he was the most important man in Assyria, he must be asking a favor from him. They wasn't interested in that king. They wanted the prophet. And it was so when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, he sent unto the king, saying, "Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." The people in Israel didn't have faith, but he was going to show even the pagan nations that God is with Israel. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariots, and he stood at the door of the house of Elisha, and Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, "Go, wash in the Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean." But Naaman was wroth, and went away, and said, "Behold, I thought he would surely come out to me, and stand, and call on the name of the Lord his God, and strike his hands over the place, and recover the leper." He was expecting a big, extravagant event to heal him of his leprosy. He was expecting a big ceremony and a big to-do over this. Elisha didn't even come to him. He said, he sent a messenger to go tell him to go dip in the Jordan River. Elijah didn't even come out to him. He sent a messenger to say, go dip in that river 7 times. Are not Abana and Phapar rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? So Naaman obviously thought very highly of Israel. He thought the water was nasty. "May I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and went away in rage. He felt insulted. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, "My father, if the prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, would thou not have done it? How much rather then, when he saith to thee, wash and be clean?" Then he went down and dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him and said, "Behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore, I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant." So he was a skeptic at first. He was ready to do something extravagant. But Elijah sends a servant to him and says, "Dip in the river 7 times. Elijah didn't even go out to him. And he probably thought, "This is ridiculous. I'm not dipping in that river 7 times. He dips the first time, and he probably thinks, "What am I doing?" He dips a second time, and he thinks, "People are going to start laughing at me." He dips a third time, and his face is probably getting red, and his ears are getting red. And then by the 7th time, he looks and sees his flesh clean. What a thing. And it all started with the witness of a little maid. And he dipped 7 times in the Jordan River. Just a little act of faith. Nothing big. Nothing extravagant. Just a little act of faith and obedience. And the Lord blessed him and healed his leprosy. Just a little act of faith. And it all started with the witness of a little maid. The Lord has a tendency to use the little things, does he not? Go to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. Verse 1. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Here we go with wanting to be big and extravagant again. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? They're wanting to be the biggest. They're wanting to be the greatest. They're wanting to be the most extravagant. And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, Verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, you cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. These disciples had been following Jesus around for a few years now. They had been preaching. They had sat under his teaching. They had heard all kinds of great doctrines, I imagine, by now, out of the mouth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he calls this little child and he said, Be like this little kid. The Lord has a tendency to take the little things and humble us all. What faith? Think about it like this. Whenever you was a little child and you were sitting in your mom and dad's back seat, did you ever critique their driving from your little car seat? I have never heard my daughter fuss about my driving. She sits back there and plays with her stuffed animals. And she couldn't care less about daddy's driving. She probably should care a little bit about her mom's driving, though. But she does not speak up and tell us how to drive. It's simple trust, simple faith of a child. They don't even know what's going on. They don't even care what's going on. All they know is mom and dad's got me, and we're going to get there in due time. The Lord has you, and you're going to get there in due time. You're in the Lord's hands, and he's going to take care of you. Trust him even in the little things. Go with me to Acts chapter 17. Talked about my wife's driving after she stepped out. Acts chapter 17, my next point is the little church. Now, when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, and his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures. Not his opinion, not his thoughts, not his commentaries. He reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead. That's the gospel. And that is this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks, and a great multitude, and of the chief women, not a few. But the Jews, which believed not, moved with envy. Why were they jealous? These Jews had PhDs. They had extravagant doctorate degrees. And they were jealous of them because Paul and a couple fishermen went from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria to the ends of the earth, and they're preaching the gospel to the nations, and there's people listening to them and not these extravagant PhDs. What a thing. Paul and a handful of fishermen. God can use the little things, can't he? And these people were jealous, and took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sorts, and gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out of the people. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also. What a thing. A little church turning the world upside down. A little church turning the world upside down. He took little fishes and little loaves and fed thousands. He took a little meal and a little oil and fed people through a drought. He took a little cloud and produced a storm. He took a little maid and gave him the message of the prophet who will heal him of his leprosy. A little child is an example of faith and obedience, and a little church to turn the world upside down. I believe with all my heart that God can use this little church. I believe with all my heart that by the grace of God, God can take this little church and turn the world upside down. I am looking at a church full of people that God can use one day for His work in the building of His church. All it takes is faith the size of a mustard seed. Faith the size of a mustard seed. Little can move mountains. He can use every one of you. Listen to the Lord in His calling. If you have a biblical calling, the Lord will bring you to it. He'll bring you through it. I'm looking at everybody here. The Lord can use you in a great and mighty way. It just takes a little faith. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You for this day. Thank You for everybody that's here. I pray that this was an encouragement to somebody. I pray that everybody here submits to Your will and follows Your calling. Thank You, Lord, for loving us. And thank You, Lord, for dying on that cross. In Jesus' name, amen. Maybe you're in here today and this message was for you, and you probably wondered, how can God use me? Let this be a comfort. The Lord can use you. Whatever burden is on your heart, I invite you to come. We're going to give an invitation, and you can come and lay your burden before the Lord today. Why don't you come today?